Next up is Stefan Seifried from B-Systems, and he's telling where did that come from? Blue Man Group, B-Systems doesn't exist yet.
My boss says it's very important to mention it correctly, so
okay.
We need to do that.
Then we did. And he's telling us about kernel crash dumping. So
okay.
Your stage.
So any non-German speakers in the room here? Okay, so just that we don't, that I'm not trying to make myself comprehensible in English and nobody is actually understanding anything and it would be easier in German, but that's not a problem. Short introduction, I'm Stefan Seifried, working for B1 Systems. Managing huge server installation, virtualized, non-virtualized for customers. And from time to time, these systems are crashing and we need to investigate it. And that's what this is about kernel crash dumps. One note, I only noticed yesterday that I have only a 30-minute time slot, so I will skip a few of the slides or probably just tell you what I know and skip the slides more or less altogether, because actually there's not so much interesting stuff on the slides and I have a short demo and I would like to show it in the end. It's much more interesting than lots of talking and reading from the slides. So what is kernel dumping? A kernel crash dump is basically doing a core dump of your kernel, more or less. Well, technically it's not correct, but it's a complete memory image from your running system, including the kernel, including the application. And so if the kernel crashes, you can save the whole memory image, similar maybe to suspend to disk or stuff. You can save the whole memory and can investigate it later. Once the machine is already up again, serving your web pages or your database or whatever. So after a short downtime, you can continue working with the machine and can then investigate the crash dump and show why the machine crashed and what to do about it. Exactly, we can do some, skip some slides. So why would you want to do that? I think that's pretty clear from the description. You're running a big data center, machines crash, you need to get them online again, or sometimes they don't even crash, but they behave very strange, they're not usable anymore, they are hanging, stuff like that, and not accessible anymore. And, well, if this happens at home or with my notebook, well, I press the reset button and everything is fine. But in a big company, people are usually want stuff like, they call it a root cause analysis. And yeah, everybody loves that, and quite often you write stuff into this ticket system, stuff like, well, yeah, it was an unspecified operation system error or something like that. So they don't know what you're talking about, and they're happy with it, but probably you would be interested what really happened. So this is where kernel dumps can be really handy to find out what happened, why did the machine crash, and even if you're not a kernel hacker, I am not. I have done stuff in kernel, but it's probably better if nobody ever sees this. And I think I'm a pretty experienced systems administrator. Let's put it like that. I've been doing systems administration for quite some time. I've been doing software development, and this even the easy stuff you can do with kdumps is for administrators. It's often very useful. For example, you can find out, I'm not sure if it's on the slide, that doesn't matter. You can find out what was the last message in the DMASC log. Very often, this is already all you need to know. You can see, okay, the machine did crash, and for example, quite often, I mean, we're running, usually running big systems with an enterprise distribution where we got support from the vendor. So if the machine crashes, we send the crash dump to the vendor, they do quickly send fixes, usually within a day or two, depending on the problem. But if more machines crash during this period, you take a short look at the crash dump and see, okay, this crashed the same way. Exactly. Basically, it's an important and easy way to find out, is this the same crash we had yesterday, or is it a different one? Of course, you need to be able to interpret the kernel backtrace or stuff like that. But it's very often the last messages in the DMASC buffer are very useful to have them. Or, for example, I will show this later, you can look at the process table. What processes were running? How much memory was used? Was the swap used? Was maybe the machine was simply out of memory, stuff like that. You can easily find this out with analyzing a crash dump, and you don't need to be a kernel hacker for that. So, yeah, I mean, it's more or less, it's most important, it's for such mission critical, like they like to call it, mission critical environments that where you cannot afford a long downtime. I mean, quite often we see machines that are hanging. The servers, they are not accessible anymore, and nobody knows exactly what the problem is. So the maybe the machine would even allow me, it has a very high load, for example. It would even allow me to log in after 5 minutes, but it would be better if it would be already up again after 5 minutes, or at least 10 minutes later. And often if the machine has such a high load, you might still be able to log in, but you cannot do anything really, really productive on it anymore, finding out what's the problem. So sometimes it's actually useful in this case when you would just press the reset button to get it up again. But it's sometimes useful to actually crash it manually. There's a possibility to do this on server hardware, to crash the box manually just to get this crash dump and get it up again running so you can investigate the crash dump later. Usually, in our case, I'm often not doing an analyze of the crash dump. I'm usually loading it to get the last DMASC message, but more for reference, to basically find out, okay, I'm sending this now to support, and if more machines crash the same, to find out if it's the same or a different crash. It's important, and something that needs to be laid out, it's important that this is a complete memory dump, so everything is in there. If I would do a crash dump of my notebook with an encrypted home partition, probably somewhere my crypto key would be in this image. So for customers' data, you need to have a support contract with proper NDA signed and stuff. It's important to know. You're giving out the whole, if you give this dump to somebody else to look at it, you're giving away the data that was on the machine. So it's important that you, usually all those support contracts, those that I have seen, they include an NDA, so that's not a problem, but it's something to be aware about it. And I would probably not give away a crash dump of my laptop to anybody, because that's my personal data, it's my encryption key, maybe my GPG key that's only locked in memory and not on swap, but if I do a kernel crash dump, everybody is written to the file. So how does it work? This is a historical slide, more or less. There were different techniques for crash dumps on a Linux. Today, only kdump is important. Kdump uses the kexec system call. Kexec is used to boot another kernel from your running kernel. Normally, this is employed for fast reboot, so you don't have to go to the BIOS. But after a kernel update, for example, during shutdown, the new kernel is loaded into memory by the old one, and then it's directly started, so you don't have to go through the BIOS. Kexec does kdump does a special version of it, more or less, and kexec, there is a second kernel loaded at boot. There's a reserved memory area, which needs to be specified on the command line, so you reserve an amount of memory from the normally running kernel, which cannot be used by a normally running kernel, and you load the crash kernel and the specially prepared initrd into this memory, and this just sits there. And it's not used in normal operation, but if the kernel crashes, then instead of simply panicking or instead of simply rebooting, it jumps into this kdump kernel, which then boots and writes the image to disk. Why is it done this way? The older techniques like netdump and lkcd, I think too, were basically using the running kernel to put the crash dump over the network or onto the disk, But the problem is, once your running kernel is crashed, you cannot trust it anymore. If it did crash in the disk driver, how should it write something to disk? If it did crash in the network driver, how should it write something onto the network? So if you have a kernel panic, you cannot trust your running kernel anymore. So Kdump works around this problem by starting a new, a fresh kernel, an unbroken kernel, more or less. This is also why the memory needs to be reserved at boot time, so this memory is protected by the MMU and cannot be overwritten during the normal operation. So this crash kernel then boots up, starts its initRD, and from there the user space, basically there's a file, procvmcore or devvmcore, I'm not even 100% sure, and basically more or less does stuff like cat this virtual file to a disk or write it to network. There are different tools, they are depending on the distribution. Unfortunately, because of the short time slot, I cannot explain more, but I have written a short paper which explains this. The link is on the end of the presentation. Make dump file is one of the tools that's usually called to create a dump, which also make dump file is important because it can do stuff like dump filtering. So you can say, I only want the used memory to be dumped, which is, or for example, you can exclude the cache pages, which are normally not, in the usual case, they're not necessary to investigate the dump, which is important if you have a moderately sized server with, say, 512 gigabytes of RAM. This might take some time to dump this onto a disk, or you might not even have enough local storage to dump this. So depending on the distribution, they all have some tools. There are various ways to configure this, but they basically all can either dump it to a local file, or I know the SUSE Linux Enterprise very well, or the OpenSUSE, they have a tool which can, for example, put it onto an FTP server or onto they can mount NFS shares and stuff. That's basically, the implementation is up to the packager, how they package the tools and how they prepare the initRD. You need storage to put it, and make dump file is the tool that creates the dump. So how does a kernel crash dump look like? Normally it's a simple ELF core file which you could load in GDB. But, well, that's something for real experts, I'd say. In GDB, it's similar to a user space core file, and I think every CPU in the kernel is presented as one thread. And yeah, you can examine it there, but it's pretty hard. But there's a special tool called Crash that's basically a wrapper around GDB, and with Crash it's very easy to do the interesting stuff. And you can also do almost everything you can do with raw GDB with it. So if you're a kernel hacker and want to see exactly which structure and which location in memory has what contents, you can do this. I can't, but I never needed to. Crash has a few commands, which I'll show later on the demo, which are very easy to use. We can show it has commands like ps, which is the same, more or less. It looks a little bit different, but it does the same like the user space ps command. It shows your process list, and you can examine the memory usage. It has a dmask. Dmask is actually the one I always use first, which just shows you the kernel lock buffer, and so you can see the last thing that made the machine crash. It also allows debugging of kernel modules, but then again, that's probably something if you're into kernel hacking more. So it's more for, at least in my case, this is what the people that I sent the dump to use then. As I said, you can also look at the crash dump with normal GDB, but at least to me, it is not that enlightening. So you can do it. I wouldn't promote this method. Very important if you do a Kdump setup is that you actually test if it works, because nothing worse than having everything set up and then the machine finally crashes and then the crash dump doesn't work. So you need to test it. There are various possible failures. It's a little bit, some hardware doesn't like it. For example, I now had a a new generation of servers from HP. They have a different network chip. The memory is too big to dump on the local disk, so we need to dump over the network. Yeah, but the network chip apparently doesn't like to be reinitialized by the second kernel, so it doesn't work. Somehow there's 10 gigabit network chips on them. They have their own operating systems apparently, and this operating system then crashes and burns, and the dump doesn't work. So we are in the process of getting this fixed by the upstream kernel and developers and by the hardware vendor. But this, of course, it needs testing. There's also, you need to test all the ways to trigger the crash dump, because you might not only be interested in a crash dump from a really crashing system, but you might actually be interested in crashing the system manually if it hangs, if it doesn't respond anymore, it has a very high load. Modern server hardware, or almost all server hardware, has a so-called debug button, which sends an NMI. It might not be a button, it might be a click in the web-based management. And this triggers an NMI, and then you need to configure your machine to actually panic on this NMI so that it triggers a crash. Sys request via the serial console, if you have a serial console configured, and if you have a terminal program that's capable of sending sys request over serial console, needs to be tested. And also it needs to be documented so that the operations crew actually knows how to do this, so they don't have to call you at 3 a.m. in the morning and say, oh, this machine is not accessible, can you please take the crash dump? So that's important. And if it doesn't work, then you need to check, does kexec work on the box, for example. Often if kdump doesn't work, kexec already has a problem. If this doesn't work, you're basically out for either fixing it yourself if you're a kernel hacker or reporting a bug upstream. Usually they're fixed quite timely in the next kernel, but they need to be reported. Is there enough space for the crash dump, for example? I wondered why my crash dumps were failing. Well, yeah, actually the filer had an aggregate with limited space, and trying on a 144 gigabyte box after 5 or 6 crash dumps, well, simply the NFS volume I was dumping to was full. So that's, yeah, basically normal operation of the system, but you need to, if you want to deploy this in production, you need to test it before. So to prepare, you need to install the packages, set them up according to the documentation of your distribution, or in my paper, I'll skip the gory details because time is short. It's described in the paper. If it does not work or it does not want to work, it's often a good way to try it with basic, without graphics drivers, VGA equals 0, without mode setting. That's always stuff. Reinitializing the graphics card. I mean, years ago we had the same problems with suspend. Today we have them with kexec and kdump. So, and as I said before, driver problem, simply hardware that doesn't like to be initialized a second time. Often, I find this quite often that in server hardware are drivers that only work if they are somehow pre-initialized by the BIOS, and the driver is not capable apparently of reinitializing the card from scratch. And so if it was initialized before by the crashed kernel, and then my kdump kernel comes along and tries to initialize it again, it fails. This was the HP problem. Often it just works. So if it fails, a bug report against the kernel is in order. This is SUSE specific. We'll skip this. Another short, we still have a little time. Interesting thing is, if you're using virtual machines on a hypervisor, you can probably skip the kdump setup because the virtual machine can usually be dumped by the hypervisor. So there's either with Xenix, it is XM dump and then simply the file where it's dumped to, or with, if you're using KVM and libvirt, it's virsh dump, and this creates a dump. And actually, the machine does not even need to be crashed, so it will still continue running. For the Xen hypervisor, there's also an automatic crash dump feature where you can configure it to always, if a machine crashes, to create a dump, but also make sure that there's enough space just in case you have more than one virtual machine running and they might trigger an ugly bug that triggers an June the 13th at 1 o'clock in the night and your whole, or if, even if it's only 20 or 30 machines that are crashing in your production environment, if the storage runs full, this might trigger whole new interesting other failures. So, yeah. This is the paper, the second, the documentation in general is in the kernel source. The second is the paper I've put up where the technical details are more explained. And the third is a very good online book, which is actually very detailed. So now, I'm not sure if it's more interesting to show a short demo or if we should do questions, answers, or both interspersed. I'd go for a short demo to show you how such a dump looks like. Okay. So in this case, I'm cheating a little bit, simply because I'm running an OpenSUSE factory, which is the latest and greatest and newest, and actually KDump is not broken there, but the kernel debug info is broken. So I can finally dump my laptop here, but I cannot read the dump afterwards because they are missing a thing in the debug info. So for the demo, I'm starting a virtual machine with a SLES, and I'm actually loading a dump I took a few days ago, and in the end, I crashed this virtual machine. So simply, it's additional time we would need, so we're short on time. This is not the first time I'm holding this talk, so there's a few dumps prepared. So this is what the, can we read it? Yes. For example, the SUSE setup automatically copies the debug info and the additional stuff that's needed into the directory, which is pretty handy for showing it. But this is dependent on the vendor and how they set this up. This is the command line. Can we see? I can make it much bigger. I hope you can read it. This is the command line starting crash with the system map. The VM Linux, which is not the running binary, but the object file or something like that. And the VM core is actually the dump file. So this is crash starting up. It's doing some stuff and putting the symbols together. Here we see an info about the system, which kernel was running, stuff, how many CPUs it had, when the dump was created, the host name of the machine, stuff like that. And actually, already stuff, what happened, it did panic. It was an oops. And the command was modprobe that was running at the time. And this is, we will see it. Log is the alias for DMASC. And we see here what happened. Modprobe was triggering, and it was triggering a null pointer exception. Unfortunately, I've loaded the crasher module because it's you can trigger a crash manually by either echoing C into the or issuing sysrq C, or for example, there's a crasher module which does nothing else than crashing the kernel in different ways. So I loaded the crasher modules, and unfortunately, it's scored off. It was, at the top that there was a null pointer exception. Other commands are ps, for example, shows you the process list. It looks pretty much the same. The task is a little bit different. This is the address of the task struct. So this is already, I'd say, this is already for kernel hackers who want to go further, but you can investigate the task struct of each process. But PS on its own is already useful to see what was running. The actually running process is marked with an arrow, and if there was would have been more than one CPU on this box, you would have seen as many arrows as there are CPUs. This was a one CPU box. And there's... very important, there's a help command. And there's commands for almost everything. So with VM, you can investigate the memory usage or the VM usage of the running task. What was mapped there with file? Is it file? Is it files? No, that's the wrong one. F-user. F-user is the same. You can find out who opened the file, which file was open, which files were opened by a specific process, stuff like that, which is often pretty nifty to debug stuff. But often, the most important thing, or the, not the most important, but already useful, simply have the kernel buffer, kernel log buffer, and find out here. Here it is, unable to handle kernel null pointer dereference. So, time is almost over.
Yeah, we're on a tight schedule. Maybe there's time for one question. Anybody? No.
Okay, I'll try to be quick on the question. So, I could build my own initRD and make it do whatever I like. I would want to dump to the network like netdump does or did.
Yes.
Do you know how big the initRD is? Like the one for Sluz, for instance, how big is the initRD?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand this.
How big in size is the initRD that, for instance, Sluz, SUSE ships? I'm a bit concerned about like using like 3 megs of RAM on all my machines just to have this initRD that runs on crash.
The initRD is pretty big, and you need to reserve quite some memory because the kernel needs something to boot. So the default setup that SUSE does actually does not work because Yast reserves only 32 megabytes, and that's not enough. So the kernel, the dump will silently fail. And then the bigger the machine, the more memory you should reserve. So we're actually on the, there's some kind of over-the-thumb rule to use 128 megabytes for machines under 128 gigabytes of RAM and 256 megabyte or even 512. For the big ones on production, we say, okay, we reserve 512 megabytes. Just it doesn't really hurt us because they have 144 gigs and more, so it doesn't really hurt. But for example, on my notebook, it would really hurt because last time I held this presentation, I was trying with 64 megabyte and it was actually not enough because it did start to dump and then the make dump file process was out of memory killed. So there is surely there is place for optimization. But at least on SLES, it looks like they are happy if it works, and they have not optimized it that much. It probably also depends on what drivers you need in your initRD for stuff. But in a production system, I'd rather assign 64 megabytes more than have the dump fail. It's really expensive in case of memory. And this is, for example, my notebook usually has no kdump setup because, well, it's running experimental drivers all the day, and I'd usually just upgrade the kernel if it crashed. But on a production system, yes, you need 128 or more megabytes reserved.
Okay.
Thank you.
Many thanks for this insight. Yeah.